It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not just send $60 billion over to Ukraine.
This is total crap.
A lot of people not happy, but they're chanting on the House floor that Ukraine's border is our border.
Stop lying to us.
Sadly, this is not the biggest fish we have to fry today. It's my first day back. I survived Fargo against all odds, but we got a really crowded dance floor. Jim Jordan's going to come by from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. If you're listening on WHIO out there in Dayton, hey, girl, bringing by the congressman. We're also going to be talking to Nicole Sapphire about the ongoing lack of parenting up at these Ivy League schools. You know, it drives me nuts as a comedian. You know, a lot of these colleges, Columbia, Yale, you know, these big schools, Harvard, they said, yeah, we can't have comedians. Speech is violence. Anyway, I'm going to go because we're having a death to Israel chant over on the quad.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
It really is. This is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. So we will attempt to opiate the masses with some wit and wisdom. And, of course, your help, your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, the whole barnyard jamboree, 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be a Libertarian. You could be an Independent. Just don't be a... Boom. There it is. Happy Monday. And before we start the show, a round of applause for the Flagg family out in Fargo. Just a world class event. Scotty, Steve, you know, Flynn, Kevin Flynn got on stage. He actually opened and closed the show. Kevin Flynn.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
Stop it. He did a great job. Okay, Jay showed up all cowboyed up. It was actually amazing. Everybody who was a part of that, seriously, you need to know, man, I was so blown away, not just by the reception at the meet and greet, but by just the overall quality of the audience. Was just a phenomenal audience. The Q&A was like electric. Like, it really was one of the best shows I'll ever get to do anywhere. And all I keep saying to anybody I run into is the movie Fargo really did your city dirty. Like, they really did.
That's true. That is true.
If you watch the movie Fargo, it's just snowing and everybody's dumb. Then you get there and it's just the greatest people you'll ever meet. Any, it's just great. Yeah. And the food was outrageous. The downtown bar scene was phenomenal.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, fat, drunk, and stupid was a great way to go through Fargo. So every single one of you take a bow, including the fine folks over at Grateful Cratefuls, who sent the Failas home yesterday with a box of snacks. I will have you know that we, Sunday night, I got them off the plane last night, somehow got them past the TSA. They love to confiscate TSA. Any liquid, any type of food, the TSA takes it like right away from me at the TSA. The minute I walk in with food there.
Put that cookie down now!
But we got the snacks, including the deep-fried potato chips, back to New York. So Grateful Cratefuls, take a bow. I had Jenny's parents in town over the weekend. And we all ate your snacks last night after our Sunday dinner. So you guys did a phenomenal job. And everyone out at Fargo. I don't doubt I will bring it up as the show rolls on because there are other points to be made. But the town as a whole really was phenomenal. And the gig, really, it was outrageous. And it was 3 years in the making. But it lived up to the hype, which is not very common in this day and age. People build things up like, oh, this is a huge deal. You know, you don't understand. But it was every second of it was unforgettable. So a shout out to the Flagg. For a first-class event, and everyone who attended it, a first-class event. And you know what I liked about the show is nobody drank at all. Everybody was completely sober. Woo! They were fantastic. Take a bow, Fargo. We move on. Okay, so I was talking about how the movie Fargo does the town of Fargo dirty. Well, the House of Representatives did the whole country dirty on Saturday night, voting for a $60 billion standalone bill for Ukraine. Now, I have to preface this. I am not, you know, supporting Vladimir Putin. I don't want to see him run roughshod over Europe. But here's a newsflash. He doesn't have the capability to do that.
Correctamundo.
Okay. He's struggling to get by Ukraine. Is Putin in the lead? Yes. But we haven't defined victory. We haven't gotten a full, thorough accounting for the money we've already sent over there. So this idea that we should just be perpetually funding the big war machine and the intel community that's kind of misled us about everything, it just makes it a little disheartening on a day when you see people waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor because we've just invested another $60 billion to defend their border when we're still not allocating a red cent for ours.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
Listen to the House chanting and cheering because they passed the Ukraine money, clip one.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
I mean, they're literally like chanting Ukraine, waving the Ukrainian flag. Do they wave the American flag on the House floor?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. And they don't cheer like that when they passed spending initiatives for our country. So it's just a frustrating thing to watch because, in all honesty, you don't want Putin just taking land as he sees fit. Okay, you can't abide that. But at the same time, you'd like to believe you could walk and chew gum, you know, and be funding the protection of someone else's borders while simultaneously, maybe, I don't know, protecting ours too.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, but they're not doing that. And the other problem a lot of people have with this passage of aid, okay, is that we're not getting any, you know, indication of what would constitute victory, what would end the war, what the timeline might be, you know, why this is good for us. They just spend more money. And understand, we don't have this money. It's not like we went into an account. We're like, well, this was the kids' college money, but we're going to spend it on the Ukraine war instead. No, this money doesn't exist. Okay, we are borrowing. We are borrowing this money and basically handing the bill to future generations.
Just hold on to your pocketbook. They just put a lien on your money, your savings, and your retirement.
So Zelensky making the media rounds now that he knows he's got another, you know, Venmo coming from the Biden administration. Here he is on Meet the Press, flat out saying he can't give a timeline on how we fight the war, how we win this war, what we're going to do with the money. Oh, in that case, let's just, I don't know, let's just keep sending cash, I guess.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
It is dumb, but here it is, clip four.
When we get it, when we have it in our arms, then we do have the chance to take this initiative and to move ahead and to protect Ukraine. But giving you a specific timeline of the war, well, it depends on like how soon we get this aid. There are so many variables, so many factors, and sometimes when we protect the important line, you retreat because you don't have enough forces and equipment, and then retaking that line would take two or three times more. I'm not saying that this is how it's going to end up, but things are possible.
So the guy thought things are possible, but there are so many variables. There are so many factors, okay, when we protect this sort of stuff. So we can't give you a specific timeline for the war or how we're going to end this thing. Now, again, I'm not asking him to disclose his actual military plans, but they're being pretty upfront about the fact that they can't define victory, nor are they making any attempt whatsoever to just flat out end the war. Okay, this is just fund this thing forever. And with no deliverable at a time when we're already $34 trillion in debt, it really does read as reckless. Now, I understand if we just say no more money, okay, then the message to Putin is, you know, you can keep going. You know, we're really not going to, you know, fund our end of it. Okay, but the reality is they've gotten a gazillion dollars in funding. We have not gotten a federal accounting for most of it. Okay, and at a time when our country is failing in major ways, it just feels like a kick in the nuts to see all that money fly out the window. We're not going to spend the whole show on it. This was just the news of Saturday night. Okay, but when you see all of this scuttlebutt in the press this week about whether or not they're going to get rid of Mike Johnson, this is a big reason why. A lot of Republican congressmen voted against this for the specific reason that it doesn't prioritize our country in any way. When you hear Democrats on the floor chanting, Ukraine's borders are our borders.
That is a fact check false.
It's not even an equivalent. You know, there's no equivalence there. Okay. Because to be clear, we try to protect Ukraine's borders. We're not trying to protect our borders. Okay. It's embarrassing what we're doing at our border. Okay. But one of the reasons Mike Johnson is ultimately going to keep his job is the Democrats are going to vote to keep him in place. Why are they going to vote to keep him in place? Because he's giving them everything they want. Okay. When you handed Republicans back the House in the midterms, okay, you didn't do so under the premise that you'd hope they'd go through three or four speakers by the time next election rolled around. And along the way, just, you know, fund every continuing resolution and maintain the status quo deal where we pass 10,000-page bills. Everybody has a couple of, you know, hours to read them. Nobody does. And then the money flies right out the window. That's not why you gave Republicans back power of the purse. But in giving back the power of the purse to the Republicans, they've gone ahead and just handed the wish list to the Democrats.
This is politics as usual.
But that's why Johnson isn't going anywhere. And they're, you know, all the big war people. Okay, oh, it's great. He had the courage to do the right thing. I don't know. You know, putting America, we understand we don't come first to this administration, but you'd want to make the medal podium. You'd like to see America on the top three priorities right now. No chance. Here is Ted Cruz talking about it, clip 7.
I think the most disappointing part of this bill is that it does not do anything meaningful to secure the border. This was an opportunity to take a serious step forward on the border. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party's position is they support open borders.
Think about that. Here's Senator Mike Lee from Utah. Also, you know, pushing back a little bit on this, clip 8.
We expect to have a handful of votes, perhaps, on amendments that could make it better. But it's very difficult for me to imagine any scenario in which any of those amendments will pass, and under no circumstances would I vote for the bill as passed by the House of Representatives yesterday. Understand, they passed four different bills yesterday, but they used this weird procedure whereby all four of those bills merge into one bill as they reach the Senate, and they have to be processed as one bill in the Senate.
So you see that? They passed these bills individually. Now they're merging them into one bill.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
But everything you need to know. Okay, here's Ro Khanna, a Democrat from California, vowing to support Mike Johnson like every other Democrat is. Why? Because he's doing what they want. Clip 10.
And I give him credit for doing this. I would actually vote to table any motion to vacate him. You know, Chairman McCaul quoted Churchill. One of the things Churchill said is that America always exhausted every wrong option until doing the right thing. Yeah. And this shows that American democracy still is very strong.
Oh, man.
What an idiot.
Let me give you a little more. Clip 11.
I would, through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Pelosi, Jeffers will be there in 2025. But look, and I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you would have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I disagree with Speaker Johnson on many issues and have been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his job till the end of this term.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Nah, he will keep his term. I mean, the one thing is the Republicans don't benefit from the disarray. Okay, it looks like a clown car that they've turned over leadership as many times and as many attempts as they had along the way to find a new speaker. Okay, they have not been good stewards of the House. That being said, the reason Johnson will survive this week is while he's not doing the bidding of you or me, he continues to do the bidding of the Uniparty. Most of the people in D.C., most of the people, probably 75-80% are, and you've heard lawmakers say that on the show, they are go along to get along. Okay, establishment politicians. They're not Republicans. They're not Democrats. They belong to the Uniparty, the sweet lobbyist money, the hot stock tips, the fancy lifestyles. You know, all the people who make $170,000 a year, but somehow wind up with $30 or $40 million in the bank.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I do not know. But the point is, okay, they're spending money like on wild levels. Like people say, oh, they're spending like drunken sailors. No, they're not. Because the drunken sailor eventually passes out in the back of like a Tijuana strip club or so, you know.
Hubba, hubba.
But the point is, the guy's got to get back onto the boat by the morning. So as drunk as that sailor might get, there is a limit to his recklessness. Okay, what we've found in Washington is we're living in this age where the sailor never makes it back to the boat on time, so they just buy a new one and pass the bill on to the taxpayer, and now we're $34 trillion in debt. We've got an undefined war in terms of what our goals are that we will continue to subsidize into the immediate future, and none of this reckless spending will go towards bettering your life or mine here in America.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
The show that's not afraid to tell you the truth.
Not only are you not a very nice person, you're also a slob.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're talking about Ukraine funding. People are all worked up. Listen, it's not going to clog most of the airwaves today on the show because we got a lot to get to. Sadly, you got a Trump trial going on in Lower Manhattan. We're still trying to figure out which cannibals ate the president's uncles. And we've got this story out about the DNC doing a poll around Kamala Harris to determine why people don't like her. And long story short, the Lincoln Failla soundbite we've been playing on the show for 5 years, pretty accurate.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh.
Ha ha!
Okay, according to this CNN report that's out right now, the DNC conducted a focus group on VP Harris to understand why voters do not like her. Do you understand? Her approval rating is in the lower 30s. Okay, she is the lowest polling vice president in the history of the United States of America.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
Yeah, just weapons-grade stupid. So this polling is not surprising, and I didn't mean to get to it, but the story just flew across our radar as we were coming back from commercial break. So this is where we find ourselves. Okay, you've got the least popular vice president in the modern era of politics. And you've got a president, okay, who is telling us cannibals ate his uncle.
Biden's lost his marbles.
Now, on Friday, you might have saw Karine Jean-Pierre walk it back and say, ah, he didn't really mean to say it that way. He was just,
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
One guy's nuts, the other one's stupid. But the reason this administration has so much support for another 4 years within D.C., is because the bureaucrats behind the scenes have so much more power when you have a moron and a dementia patient, okay, or whatever they're diagnosing Biden as in between shooting him up with B12 and trotting him out there in public. Okay, the point is they're a mess. And the things that make them unpopular with you and me are exactly why they're popular within the Beltway, is it gives the people in Washington a lot more power than they would normally have in a regular administration. That's why we are where we are.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. We do this every Monday. We've got one fellow who likes to give a review of the show. He was hanging out with me last Saturday night. I don't know that he saw the show, but he saw it this week. He's back. He's in Gary, Indiana. Michael's on the line. Michael!
Mr. Failla making a triumphant return after taking Fargo by storm, my good man.
What a town. It's pretty flat. You know, it gets a little Great Plainsy out there. But the town was fantastic. Really good food town, good bar town. The movie Fargo, as I said at the top of the show, really did them dirty. They have a great town.
Wow. I tell you, when Jenny takes the leash off and you're unsupervised, you make the most of it, buddy.
Yeah,
hanging out with Brian Brenberg in Minnesota on the way to Fargo.
Oh, you saw
that. I bet there were some cigars and bourbon consumed in mass quantities. Am I right?
Things happened, is all I'm going to say. We lost a lot of good men out there at that lake. But it was for a good cause, is all I can tell you. But it's good to hear your voice. So did you catch the show? Did you see the All-Star panel?
Oh, absolutely. And there's a Brenberg on the panel. How about that? Did y'all carpool? I mean, my goodness.
Do you think his son killed my cat? I mean, that was a real picture of his son.
Oh, that was a great picture. It looked like Daisy was going, help me.
Brenbergs are now suspects. But it was a fun one.
And Christina and Kenny, they were great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny Boy O'Connor jumped around, and he bought the house that the movie The Outsiders down in Tulsa was filmed at. How cool was that?
Yeah, that was amazing. The KRMG listeners in Tulsa, they know Danny because he's a bit like a fixture in town. But people around the country, you all know, they all know the song Jump Around. You've heard it pretty much in every bar fight you've ever been in. Jump Around played
Absolutely.
At some point.
Every sports event, too, buddy. Right?
Every sports event. But he is as cool of a dude and as cultured of a dude as you're ever going to meet. So it was so great to get him on. It really was. It was a rad night. So I'm glad you caught it.
You wonder about rappers. I would consider him a rapper. And you go, well, you know, some of them are kind of dicey. But he really seemed like a genuinely nice guy.
Oh, no, he's a great dude. He's like he is honestly one of the best people I've met in my travels, like through my time in showbiz and news and politics and everything else. Like, he's a medal podium, like a guy, like a gold medal guy. He's fantastic. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, no, he is. And I love rapping with him because he is a part of old New York. That's what we were talking about on the show.
Yeah,
you see, New York has always been filthy. So when we say like, oh, you know, the Sanctuary City stuff, it's bad. But it's like the reason we're bothered by it is it's not our filth. Like, we're used to our filth, you know. It's one thing to get pickpocketed by another New Yorker. That was like a rite of passage, you know. Now we're getting pickpocketed by other people. There's not as much dignity in that or something. I don't know.
And then the dog whisperer, Caesar Milan, he was on there to train Bixby, but in reality, Bixby was the most chill one in the whole room.
Wasn't he?
He just stood there like, okay, when is this going to be over?
Are we done here? Yeah, apparently Bixby has better bookings than Fox News Saturday Night. I had no idea my dog was such a power player.
But in a tease to that segment earlier in the show, we got a brief glimpse of who I suspect is the true dog wrangler, the wonderful Jenny Fela, and Bixby celebrating Take Your Dog to Work Day at Fox.
Yeah,
he had a ball, didn't he? He was running around like crazy.
Yeah, he was a lunatic because he's never been to the building before. Obviously, he doesn't know I work here. So he just came into this building not knowing why he was there, and then he heard my voice and ran down the hall. Probably spooked a couple of people in their cubicles along the way, but that's okay. It's a small price to pay for TV footage, right?
What a great dog. What a great dog.
Yeah, he's
the story about how he got his name is just so cool.
Yeah, he's next level. Well, listen, I was told you're in Gary, Indiana, so if you're going to go join the Jackson 5, that's where they're from. Did you know that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I bet none of them are left in Gary. I'm just guessing. they moved on up out of here, right?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they skipped town, but, you know.
Oh, and don't forget Rhyme and Punishment. That was fun, and Danny Boy hung around and helped out with that. Man, those are some great rhymes.
Yeah, it was a winning night, but I know you're getting ready to start a pop band in Gary, so good luck. Call back when you have a new song out. I don't know what you're going to call them. I don't know. You don't strike me as a Jackson, but we'll come up with something. Michael, we love you, man. Stay safe out there. We'll see you soon, brother. There he is, the great Michael. Watches the show. He's trucking today out in Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana, home of the Jacksons. And I love the story. It reminds me a lot of the Motown story. Reminds me a lot of Chuck Berry's story out in Wentzville, Missouri. If you're listening to KFTK out there. You know, these are people who living in America in the 50s and the 60s, you know, looked around and said, hey, this is a place where you can get ahead. And I'm going to work really hard on this creative endeavor. And there's no rule that says I can't become like the biggest star of my generation. And they all did in their own way. You know, Motown became a multi-billion dollar entity. Okay, the Jacksons became the biggest pop stars who ever lived. Chuck Berry, you know, has probably five entries in the American song catalog. When you're talking about the annals of the most famous songs, most covered songs of all time, a lot of them were written right there at that house in Wentzville, Missouri. Those are great American stories. And what's fascinating is in the year 2024, they're still trying to tell you people are oppressed, they can't get ahead. Okay, understand that all the way back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, when we didn't have a Civil Rights Act, when we really were living in two different societies and people genuinely were being oppressed by Democrats in the South, okay, these folks harnessed the power of the American dream, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and pulled off all three along the way, you know, beyond all believable bounds in terms of the success they recognized. And I only like to mention that because, again, they keep telling you America in 2024 is America in 1824.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Okay, America really is. It's a land of opportunity. And don't let the government beat you into thinking otherwise so you'll continue to vote for them, because that's what they do. You know, you think Barack Obama, to his credit, ran for president on yes, we can, like we can do it. You know, you can help. We can pull us off. Okay, that rhetoric would not fly in the modern Democratic Party. If he showed up to a rally, he was like, yes, we can. OK, with the defeatist, you know, incentivized victimhood they're now peddling, they'd call him a half white guy. Like if Obama was a Republican, they would not consider him the first black president. They'd be like, who's this half white guy that needs to check his privilege saying, yes, we can? Don't you know how oppressed we are in 2024? That's what they do. It's clown stuff. OK, when you look around at the college campuses right now. So we're here in Columbia right now. Okay, up, you know, town in New York City, Upper West Side of Manhattan. Okay, these are colleges that would ban comedians. These are colleges that would ban Halloween. Because they're like, well, it's hateful. It's cultural appropriation. You know, if you dress like a member of a culture you're not actually a part of, you're going to be a Disney princess, but you're not Polynesian. That's offensive. That's hate speech. Can't have Halloween. Anyway, I got to run. We're doing a Death to Israel chant over at the Quad. That's what they're doing right now. So we got these camps around the country. We've got these kids, you know, fighting with the police, calling for an actual, you know, the end to Israel. Okay, somehow that's not hate speech. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay, but what you realize is that it's all the end result of two things. Okay, one, you got a lot of really rich, privileged white kids out there who had bad parents who didn't beat them a little bit or, you know, give them a little direction or some healthy appreciation for consequence. And a lot of these kids, you know, they want to feel like they're some type of, you know, historic transformational figure. So they get out there and scream and yell and protest and clog the bridge and, you know, crowd the Quad and put up their tents and play their music and their chants and tell you they're some type of a resistance. But at the end of the day, they have no fact to support their position. Okay, Israel is not committing genocide in Gaza. Gaza's population has quadrupled since the year 2000. Okay, understand it is not Islamophobia for them to be going after Hamas terrorists. You understand they have 2 million Muslim people that are living in Israel. Israel is not trying to kill them. It's not trying to get rid of them. Okay, Israel's problem, not with Muslims. Israel's problem very much with terrorists.
Bingo.
And what they're chanting and what they're supporting up there, okay, is terrorism. Okay, here are chants from protesters. Okay, I'll play it to you for a second. And they're calling for the death of more soldiers and for Israel to fall. Now, I got to be honest. As hate speech goes, I don't know. This doesn't exactly sound like the inside of a Hallmark card. Clip 13.
Free our prisoners, free them all. Zionism will fall. Free our prisoners, free them all. Israel will fall.
I mean,
that was embarrassing.
But these people are idiots. They're idiots. They live in an age where their emotions are their facts. and protesting has become a branding exercise for rich white kids. That's what this is. It's like their new Coachella. Instead of flying out to the desert and watching a couple of hip bands play, now you do the whole, you know, nah, we're not going to Coachella. We're going to climate cella. We're going to genocide cella. Going up to the college campus, we'll protest, we'll scream and yell, we'll say people are oppressed and being, you know, genocided. It's just not going on, okay? That's just the reality. I've been playing you these clips at great length of former President Bill Clinton talking about how Hamas did, in fact, insulate themselves, surround themselves in heavily, okay, populated areas, hospitals, schools, and stuff of that nature, because they want civilian casualties in this war, because they know idiots like the people on the quad up at Columbia will go out there and claim that Israel's just indiscriminately going after civilians, which they're not doing. By the way, we have about 150 Israelis still being held hostage, okay? And no one is trying to get them returned. And every one of these people on the quad chanting Israel must fall, kill another soldier, no regard for the human life on either side of this thing. For them, it's more of a branding exercise. Okay, let me give you some of the idiots. Okay, because understand, there's a Yale student journalist who was stabbed by anti-Israel protesters over the weekend. She would not be one of the idiots. She would be one of the people whose rights are being trampled. Here is that take, clip 14.
Hundreds of students were literally around me, dancing in a circle and singing and holding hands, singing anti-Jewish, like, chants and cheers. And they waved their hands and their middle finger in my camera and in my face, and they yelled at me. And then finally, one of the students, whose face was covered in a keffiyeh, took a Palestinian flag that he was holding and waved it in my face and then hit my left eye. And I immediately yelled, he stabbed me in the eye, and I ran after him. The human blockade continued to blockade me so that they wouldn't let me find the man who assaulted me.
Now, I don't mean to cartoon this, but you can't imagine how insane this is to me. It's like a comedian. Like, colleges stopped booking comedians. It's like, wow, you can't make fun of stuff. That's hate speech. That's violence. This girl got stabbed in the eye, okay, by people spewing anti-Jew hatred. And the college is like, oh, well, you know, that's just their speech rights. That's just what's going on. This is the dumbest thing you've ever heard. Listen to Ted Cruz break this down. Clip 16.
We're seeing a vicious anti-Semitism, a vicious hatred of Israel in our universities and, sadly, among the Democrat Party. This party has turned hard anti-Israel because they're terrified of their rabid core. And on campus, you see really the id of the Democrat Party expressed. And you want to know why this is happening? This, tragically, is cultural Marxism, that our universities are indoctrinating young people. Cultural Marxism breaks the world into oppressors and victims, and they have defined Jews as oppressors. They have defined Palestinians as victims. Sadly, it's really ugly manifestation we're seeing on the streets of New York and across the country in universities.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Good question. Okay, but basically what's happened is we've created this life that's been really free of consequence for a lot of a-holes. You know, when you go back to 2020, and they were like, wow, you know, they're burning down businesses in the name of progress. You can't put those people in jail. And what is the progress? What was the deliverable? Crime rates went up. Schools got worse. And oh, by the way, when those businesses get burnt down, I was in Minneapolis this weekend. Do you know what all of those businesses burnt down in the George Floyd riots have in common? None of them have come back.
Correctamundo.
None of them. They got burnt down, and now it's just a desolate area where they've driven all the commerce and the nightlife out of the region. And you understand those are people's jobs. Those are people's livelihoods. And when you look in a neighborhood and you understand that there is a direct correlation between high rates of violent crime and low rates of economic opportunity. If people don't have a legal means to make money, they are far more likely to pursue a violent illegal means. Okay, and that was the end result of the summer of 2020. We drove a lot of jobs out of neighborhoods that really needed them in the name of some type of a progress. Well, we'll defund the police. That'll help everybody. I mean,
that's stupid. Use your common sense.
But the fact that we were placating the emotions of idiots, okay, instead of using our authority as a government, local, you know, municipality, police force to enforce the law, is how you wind up doing lasting damage to a country or a people. And that's what's going on at college campuses right now. A lot of these campuses, like Columbia is private property. The cops just can't show up and arrest everybody and say you're done with it. The school has to okay it unless, like, there's a violent act being committed. But the reality is we are tolerating something under the guise of protest, which is they have a right to peacefully assemble and say what they want to say. But at the end of the day, it's happening at the expense of other people. And this is no longer, okay, a protest that's calling for a movement of peace. This is a protest that's vowing to wipe the Jewish people off the map. Now, again, I'm not an expert on hate speech, but as a guy who spent time as obviously as a comedian touring the country, I'm on the road every weekend. It just so fascinates me that we're living in such a moment beyond shame where the same people who could tell you speech is violence are now out there telling you we've got to kill Israel, and no one sees the irony.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
It's the fastest part of your workday.
Wow, you're pretty quick for a big guy.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Wow, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft announcing moments ago that he will no longer fund Columbia University. He was one of the big donors. He says it's not a safe place for Jewish students, and that until they get the campus under control, he is holding on to his money. Good for him, Robert Kraft. Probably going to hear some talk about people holding on to their Biden funding as well. Here is a clip of the president being asked about Chinese steel tariffs, the response of which is, don't jump, is what he says to the reporter.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
This is a weird one. Take it away, Josh.
The steel tariffs, are you concerned about your relationship with Xi Jinping, your new relationship with him?
No.
Why?
Don't jump.
And the other people laugh. Like, no, this is good that he said don't jump, and it doesn't make sense to the conversation. I mean, man, oh boy, oh ma'am.
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
President Biden, are you concerned about the steel tariffs with China? Don't jump. That was the response.
What the hell did you just say?
I don't know. I said Gavin Newsom 2024 is what I think I said. Anyway, Nicole Sapphire is coming up. Jim Jordan's coming up. Daniel Turner will be here as well. Don't go anywhere. It's going to get nuts on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Here we go. Big hour coming your way. And the audio safe space for cool people that we call Fox Across America. And all that really means you don't have to agree with the host. You could disagree. You think I'm an idiot. Most people who know me do. It's not going to offend me. It's a talk show. Okay, I am a conservative, but I'm not doing a conservative talk show. I am doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
And all that means is you can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat. Just don't be a... There it is. We get underway in this hour. Dr. Nicole Sapphire stopping by. It's a busy show today. Jim Jordan's going to be here. Daniel Turner, Executive Director of Power of the Future, stopping by in studio as well. We've got a lot to get to, okay? And it's very much a world on fire scenario as we get underway. We've got anti-Israel protests organized, well-funded, taking place simultaneously at campuses around the country. We've got the Trump trial now wrapping up for the day, and we'll get you up to speed on the developments there. We've also got all of this chaos when we're talking about, you know, the funding, the border, the 2024 election, and who should come rolling out to the microphone over the weekend. But Hillary Clinton, who decided that Trump now wants to kill his opponents. That's a real thing she said.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
Really fascinating stuff. But what's going on with Hillary is obviously, you know, okay, losing the 2016 election killed her, you know, emotionally. And she's, you know, more than anything in the world, you know, finding purpose in hopefully denying Trump another chance at the White House. And she's willing to say and do anything in order to make that happen. Unfortunately, okay, she's kind of lost the room in that most people have an opinion of Donald Trump, good, bad, or anything in between. But their opinion at this point, because he's been a public figure for as long as he has, does not square with what the people dealing from a place of emotion want them to believe. What I mean by that is nobody, okay, unless you're like a lunatic. Like if you work for CNN and, you know, you're a performance artist, or you work on Morning Joe and you're a performance artist, like they don't believe the things they're saying about Trump. But there are people watching them to some extent who do. But what's happening, because they manufactured a hysteria around Donald Trump, is when you're dealing from a place of hysterics, it denies you self-awareness. Your emotions get the best of you, and you start talking out loud with no regard for how crazy you might look to anyone else. So the average person doesn't think Trump is going to end elections. They don't think he's going to kill his political opponents. They don't think he's going to make women live under Sharia law, nor does anybody think he's a racist. One of the reasons Trump is getting called a racist so much is because he's making up major ground with minority voters.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
Okay, he now leads Biden with Latinos. Okay, he has doubled his support amongst black men. Ergo, they start to call him a racist because they don't know what else to do.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
Understand, okay, Trump is not running on, I'll harm the black community. Trump is running on, I'll make sure you have plenty of cops on the street, which would actually help the black community and every other community for that matter.
That's true. That is true.
Okay. He's not running on, I'll lock up journalists and kill my political opponents. He's running on, I'll lock up the border, make it harder for human traffickers and drug smugglers to get in, make it harder for people to migrate here illegally on the taxpayer's dime, putting people who migrate legally to the back of a line. Okay. That's what Trump is running on. But the Democratic repurposing of Trump's mission speaks to such a desperation and utter shamelessness. Listen to this clip from Hillary Clinton. Okay, she's out doing the podcast again this weekend. Now, why is she doing the podcast? For real, okay? For the same reason Gavin Newsom was doing media over the weekend. They're all riding along as alternates, like it's the Tour de France. Do you know when you watch the Tour de France, okay, they have alternate riders that are in the uniform wearing the spandex and the helmet, and they're there just in case somebody on the team falls ill, doesn't make the next leg of the journey. You can put an alternate onto the team. There are a lot of alternates pedaling alongside the presidential motorcade right now, because to put it in Tour de France terms, Biden doesn't always look like a guy who's going to stay on his bicycle. So she's out there trying to maintain some semblance of relevance, because there is nothing on earth she would like more than for Biden to have to step aside and for the Democrats to go, wow, our hands are really forced. We're here in the 11th hour. We had to take the historic measure of bringing a president off the ticket. Who the heck could we finally get, or in such a pinch, that's been at the top of one of these tickets in the past, knows her way around Washington?
I don't feel no ways tired.
And in comes Hillary with her fake black accent. Okay, believe me, in the recesses of her mind, but, you know, I'm being generous and putting it in the recesses, she wants to be the president. Okay, people who run for president and lose, there's an old adage that the presidency is a disease that is only curable by death. And what that means is if they want to be president, they are so consumed by the idea thereof that they can't stop obsessing over the possibility. So Hillary, as she's trying to make peace with the fact that she might never get to be the president, can find some solace in trying to deny other people access to the gig. Now, sadly for her, Trump's already won one. She didn't do anything to stop it. But she would take nothing, find no more greater joy than denying him a second crack at it. So here she is saying Trump wants to kill his opponents. Clip 21.
Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do: kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, really, when you think that's what he wants, he wants to kill his opponents and put them in prison. You know, as the Democrats try to put Trump in prison. The old exercise and projection that they're always engaged in, you have to know that, okay? It's one of the only things I bring to the airwaves with me, is I own a Politics to English dictionary, and I can allow you to stand behind the magician and see how they execute their tricks. Okay, I'll be down in D.C. this weekend. I'm hosting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner this Saturday night. Fox News Saturday Night is going live for 2 hours on the red carpet.
This could be a problem.
Okay, I think it's going to be fine. I genuinely believe this is an exercise by Fox to keep me away from the open bar. They're like, we'll give him a, you know, we'll give him a microphone. He's going to be live for 2 hours. No way he's going to drink that. Stop it. I actually do good in these live broadcasts. But I'm down there. Friday night, I'll get to go to all the media cocktail parties, and you'll see everybody. You'll see all the people from Fox and MSNBC, CNN.
CNN is the worst.
But they'll all be there. Okay. You'll see, you know, probably the Clintons might show up. Sometimes they do. Last year, I met Kamala's husband at one of the Friday night parties. He was with Amy Klobuchar. And no, they were not eating a salad with a comb. They were having a cordial conversation. They're both very polite to me. But the point is, in this media game, okay, in this political game, the people who hate Trump as like a lifestyle don't realize how far out of whack their characterization of him is with what other people believe. A lot of people, including myself, believe Trump can be like crass, says a lot of outrageous things, kind of talks out of his butt. You know, he's got a massive ego. He's very thin-skinned. Okay, but his policies were fundamentally better for the country, and none of them involved jailing his political opponents, throwing them off the ballot, or firing them from their jobs if they didn't take a vaccine. Okay, what the Democrats are always engaged in, always, is an exercise in projection. How do we go out there and accuse our opponents of exactly what we're doing so we don't have to face the music for it? I mean, that was, understand, the first Trump impeachment. Okay, they impeached Trump because he was looking into the Biden business dealings in Ukraine. And we were told, whoa, hey, what? You can't look into the Biden business dealing.
He should be behind bars.
But what did we come to find out? That there were all kinds of Biden business dealings in Ukraine. Okay, and the thing they impeached Trump for was what Biden did. They impeached Trump because they said, well, he threatened to withhold aid from Ukraine. You can't threaten to withhold aid. That's like treason. You can't do that. You should die in jail if you threaten to withhold aid from Ukraine. But here is Biden bragging, you've heard it before, about how he threatened to withhold $1 billion from Ukraine unless they fired the guy he wanted them to fire.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours. I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That's Biden bragging about the very thing they impeached Trump for. So you got to understand, I'm not running the Donald Trump Radio Defense Fund. Okay, just a, you know, guy trying to have an honest conversation with you. They are constantly accusing other people of what they're doing. I mean, what was the last 4 years of life in this country? Everybody's a racist but us. Now they're all chanting death to Israel. I got to be honest, as racism goes, pretty racist. And they don't want to hear your counterpoint to that. They just want you to believe you're guilty of some type of a genocide if you won't support the people who are calling for the genocide.
Democrats are so full of crap.
But that's who they are. Oh, these genocidal people supporting Israel. Tell you what we need to do is blow them all off the map, which is genocide. And they won't even have a conversation with you. They were supposed to be the conversation people. Do you remember John Wayne saying that? John Wayne, the Duke. My brother Mike sent me this clip. I was driving out of Fargo yesterday. Uncle Mikey sends me a John Wayne clip. This is John Wayne. This is 74.
Maybe I read the wrong dictionary, but I thought that a liberal was a man who would listen to everybody's point of view and then make up his mind.
Remember that? We listen out. We're liberals. Free speech for all. I want to hear what everybody has to say. And once I hear what everybody has to say, once I listen to every opinion in the room, we'll have a productive conversation. That was what classic liberalism was sold to us as.
I don't know of any of these so-called liberals that listen to anything but their own mouth.
That's the Duke.
I admire your honesty.
Okay, that is he's telling you the truth. They're not listening to anybody but them because their emotions are their facts. okay, for a lot of spoiled, stupid white kids. Spoiled, stupid white kids. They grew up rich. They didn't know they had it rich. Or some of them did know they had it rich and felt a sense of guilt. So they're out there trying to repurpose their prosperity as well. You know, maybe I didn't do anything and, you know, I'm spoiled within an inch of my life, but I am saving the planet because of like climate change or I'm fighting oppression or staving off a genocide in Gaza by calling for a genocide in Israel. Okay, this is the type of stupid public position you take when your emotions are your facts. Emotions, I say it all the time in the show, deny people self-awareness. They deny you self-awareness. Okay, you don't realize, like, oh, I sound like an idiot right now because I'm emotional. I'm screaming. I don't sound like myself. Okay, that's what Hillary Clinton is doing when she says, oh, Trump fantasizes. He wants to kill his opponents, put him in prison. Okay, they're putting conservatives in prison. They're trying to put Trump in prison as we speak. It is the classic exercise in projection. That's what it is. Okay, but it goes all the way back to the John Wayne clip I played you. Okay, the liberals would have you believe, no, we're the free speech people. We want to hear everybody's idea.
Wrong.
No, they don't. Okay, that tag was specifically designed like every other tag so they could accuse you of what they're doing. No, we're the liberals. We want to hear what everybody has to say. Just ban these Republicans. We don't want them on Twitter. It's misinformation. It's dangerous. It's not good for you. Okay, that's who they are. Okay, well, we're the liberals. We're protecting you from Trump. He wants to jail his political opponents and throw them off the ballot. So the only way to stop that from happening is to jail our political opponents and throw them off the ballot.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
And most rational people know that, but they don't because their emotions are their facts. And when you're running on emotion again and again and again, it creates a lot of blind spots that would otherwise allow you to look in that emotional mirror and know that you sound crazy.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
He's the most talented man on the radio, but he needs your help.
We all know somewhere underneath all of that bright color, there's a man who's not right.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I'm always on the road doing stand-up, and I always say, hey, if you want to see me, okay, well, we're going to, man, we're going to Florida next. Friday, I'll be in D.C. this weekend. You can't see me do stand-up. That is not an option for you. I am not performing stand-up comedy this weekend. However, I am hosting 2 hours live from the red carpet at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So there you go. You get to see my Saturday Night TV show live in a fancy tuxedo. Hey, girl. But one of the things about me that you might appreciate is, you know, I appreciate excellent performances. You know, whether I see a pitcher throw a shutout or a guy writes a great song, there's nothing I like more than people just doing the hell out of their jobs. And I tell people this all the time. The best way to get the job you want is to do the out of the job you have. Okay, you do that, you know, do the pants out of the job you're working now because that will create a market for you somewhere higher. Somebody who works above you might want to promote you. Somebody who moves to another company might want to take you with them. The point is people recognize now more than ever good, hardworking employees who do their jobs because there's a scarcity of that in this country. So whenever I see a command performance, like somebody really commits, you know, I love it. You know, it could be, I was at the car wash this morning. I got my car washed. Got driving my car. It was like so thorough and nice. And I was like, I talked to the guy. I'm like, dude, you were so good. I'm about to drive this thing into Manhattan. It is a filth pot. Thank you. I appreciate it. Like consummate professional, you know, tip him a couple of bucks and, you know, great. Okay. That stuff jumps out at me because I came here through a very non-traditional, you know, route. I was a cab driver. I was doing stand-up comedy. Nobody was walking around going, you know, we need to give a TV show to. You know, we need to give a radio show to. There's a bust-out comic nobody's ever heard of who drives a cab all day. So the point is I appreciate guys delivering command performances. Michael Douglas was on CNN over the weekend. Command performance as an actor trying to tell CNN that Joe Biden, the guy who just said his uncle got eaten by cannibals, that Joe Biden is sharp as a tack.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
Exactly what he did. Listen to this, clip 23.
So you and Biden are about the same age. What do you think? Are you one of those people who wished he had bowed out, let the field choose somebody else? How do you think about that?
Well, I think that I walk a little similar to him. And the people that I've talked to and everybody that I have say he's as sharp as a tack. He's fine. We all have an issue with memories. As we get older, we forget names, something. He's overcome a stutter in his life, and sometimes he might. Let's just say that his entire cabinet, including his vice president, everybody's in his cabinet, would be more than happy to work with him again in the next term. I cannot say that about the other candidate running, because nobody in his cabinet from 2016 wants to be involved with him.
Now, there are a lot of people who work with Trump in 2016 that have disavowed him, and there are certainly a lot that do want to work with him, so he's wrong about that. But when he gets out there and tells you Biden is sharp as a tack, that's a fine acting job. Okay, that's a fine acting job, because no self-respecting person is watching Joe Biden shake hands with invisible people and going, 4 more years. But Michael Douglas did exactly that. He says Joe Biden is as sharp as a tack. Now we should ask if he's as sharp as a cannibal's tooth, because that's who ate his uncle. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla trying to hold this country together. It's Monday. Place is a bag of cats. If you watch Fox News Saturday night over the weekend, we spent a little time discussing Biden. And I bring this up. Why? Because over in New Guinea, their president is now demanding an apology because our president said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea.
Have you ever had a checkup?
I don't know that he has. But if he does, they're probably not going to share the results. Here's the Biden clip. It's from last Wednesday, clip 24.
My uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bozy. My uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself.
The White House has since issued a clarification saying his uncle was not eaten by cannibals. The Pentagon was the first to refute the statement, saying his uncle wasn't even a pilot on a plane that crashed. He was a passenger on a plane that ditched in the ocean. Now, that's not good. So as we were saying on Fox News Saturday night, the good news for Biden is his uncle didn't end up in a crock pot. The bad news is dementia.
When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
Who knows? But the leader, Papua New Guinea's leader, is upset, is dismissing the suggestion that his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Joining us now, though, is a woman who has a fantastic new book out. It's sadly not a cookbook for cannibal recipes, which would be very of the moment. No, ma'am. It is a smash hit written by the board-certified radiologist and Fox News contributor and author of the new book, Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. I am talking about the legendary Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Hey, girl.
Jimmy, so happy to be on with you on Monday. How are you?
Better now. Congrats on the book. This is amazing.
Thank you. You know, it's a little different than, you know, the couple of books I've written in the past. Those are kind of all about health policy, mm-hmm. you know, living a healthier life. This mm-hmm. was more personal to me. This was kind of myself going into my personal life, getting a little raw and authentic.
No, I thought this was amazing. That's the point I was making to the listener before we got you on the phone, is they're really getting a high security clearance in this book. And that it's, they're, you know, in Goodfellas when they let them into the Copacabana through the kitchen, but everybody else like goes around on line, waits in line. You are very much giving them the Goodfellas version. And I know that's not an analogy made a lot to describe the book on motherhood, but it is true, Doc. It's true. You Goodfellas the listener and the reader.
Hey, you know what it is? It's the fact that, you know, we put ourselves out there in public, and especially in the world we're living in today, you know, most people kind of just put their best foot forward on social media or on TV. And at the end of the day, you know, I think it's really important to kind of strip down and peel back the layers of that onion and to show that everyone's human and we all kind of have, you know, very similar challenges and obstacles. And, you know, when I was given the opportunity to tell my story, Some people know, some people don't know. When we're talking about motherhood, I had one of those non-traditional routes into motherhood. I got pregnant when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was still in high school. And yeah, I was that statistic. I was the pregnant teen walking around my high school hall.
Yep.
And, it wasn't the most planned event of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I certainly wasn't a celebratory moment. There's mm-hmm. a lot of, feelings of isolation and sadness. But, mm-hmm. Looking back now, 24 years later, it certainly made me who I am today.
Yes. And I think that's the most fascinating nugget about all of this. We're talking to Dr. Nicole Sapphire, the brand new smash hit book available wherever the fine books are sold, Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood, is that you've built an incredible life for yourself. And what the point I try to make to people all the time, okay, is being a parent is like such a blessing for people, certainly people like me, who benefited from having that compass, because you're suddenly making decisions on behalf of multiple people instead of just one. And I can tell you this, prior to having Lincoln, I was a bit of a mess, more so than I am now. Like, now I'm a professional mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty upfront about it. But having that kid is like a North Star of like, you've got to make better decisions and you've got to be more accountable. I'm sure, this book really, really does show people how for multiple folks in the Fox News orbit, being a parent or having a great parent really is like truly the greatest opportunity you can ask for in life.
Yeah. And so it doesn't just stop with my story.
Yeah,
well, you certainly do get a glimpse into my story. We decided to invite a lot of other moms because mm-hmm. the more stories, the more relatable to people and the more people we're able to reach. So I reached out to a lot of my Fox News colleagues like Martha McCallum, Ainsley Earhart, mm-hmm. Kaylee McEnany, Carly Shimkus, Janice Dean, and others. There's also non-Fox people in the book.
Yep.
There's a patient of mine, a Gold Star mom, and even just some more other people you've never heard of, but all with these incredible stories. And one of the only thing that I really said to people were, if you want to be a part of this book, you have to talk about things you haven't spoken about publicly.
Mm-hmm.
We need some new material for our audience.
Yeah.
And you can't hold back. Mm-hmm. You have to show your authentic self. And I'm just so eternally grateful that these women did that.
Yeah.
I mean, Ainsley spoke about her divorce and mm-hmm. losing her mother in the same time and how she really had to lean on her faith to get her through some of that. Rachel Duffy talks about a day where she lost one of her children.
Mm-hmm.
She literally lost her child. I mean, we all deal with that mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these moments of, oh my gosh, am I a terrible parent because of things that are happening right now? I think every single mom has felt that. And the reality is what the reader will get from this book is that we all have those feelings.
Yeah.
And we also throw in some scripture, some quotes, and just some sage advice that we've kind of picked up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes for such a beautiful book that will make you laugh, will make you cry. But at the end of the day, I think what I really want people to know is you're not alone.
Yeah.
And the more, you're surrounded by people you love and they're to support you, it just makes you stronger.
Yeah, no, it's a home run. And it's a phenomenal read. And by the way, Mother's Day is coming, folks. Hello. The book is called Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. You get to hang out with Dr. Sapphire and some of your Fox favorites. Like, if there is a book about moms who get thrown out of karaoke, my mom could contribute. I thought about
it.
Though,
let me tell you, Jimmy, I know that this sounds like the book is only for moms. It's so not true.
I know.
It's for moms. It's for anybody who wants to be a mom. But let me tell you, mm-hmm. if a man picked up this book and read it, they would have such incredible insight into the way a woman thinks, the way a woman feels. Let me tell you, it's definitely going to strengthen that relationship as well.
Yeah, think about that. So think about what a pro move it is. Like if a guy is listening to this. And you really wanted to forget about scoring points for reading it. Just having the intel, you know what I'm saying? Because it is, in a lot of ways, a cheat code. That's a term we use in video games, a cheat code where you could skip ahead to a higher level. You've almost given the men a cheat code. A cheat code sounds in the connotation of relationships like a bad thing, but it's not that. It just means in video games, you're going to be better at the game. So some people understand that. I think it's all fabulous. One question for you, because I know you got to make the rounds when you're out there, when your book is out. I did this as well. Doesn't the process, and I know you've done it multiple times though, but doesn't the process, it's really weird. It's like you work on this book like you're the Unabomber, alone in the woods forever, and then you just start mailing it out one week and you're seeing the chaos that's caused, and obviously this is good chaos in your case, but isn't it such an insane process to write a book?
I mean, it really is. But I'll tell you that this book particularly was very cathartic for me. I had to kind of go deep into a lot of emotions that I'd say I honestly suppressed for a couple of decades. You know, my other books, it's about research and interviews. This was just very different, and it was full of so much more emotion. And now that it's here, you know, I found myself more nervous because this is me. It's like, here's my life. It's all of it. So, you know, and what the response is going to be, that was on a personal level. And I've just been so grateful at the support that I've gotten. I have people sending me pictures from Barnes and Noble with the books. That's and I mean, awesome. It's just been so wonderful. And I just couldn't feel more grateful and blessed.
No, people love it because you want to know what it is. Like, you really, to keep it in street terms, you kept it 100. You kept it 100. It's not 100. It's 100 if you're saying it in street terms. You kept it 100. And people like that authenticity because I think more than ever, we want real because we've seen, you know, such a carefully curated version of everybody's life. But the fact that you, you know, are being relatable by showcasing either vulnerability or flaw or moments where you question your own judgment, it's good for people to hear that because you know what happens? We grew up in this generation where we thought our parents were just flawless entities, you know, and you just felt like they had the angle on everything. And obviously looking back, you know, that's not possible. But I think people who grew up believing that still feel some stigma for those moments where they don't have the answers, when the truth is we've never had all the answers.
Yeah, and you know what? My oldest son is now 24, and I'll tell you, I still feel some days with my younger kids. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing in the world of parenting. And even after some of the interviews, I have taken little pieces of advice from so many of the moms in the book. Martha McCallum offers some great advice when it comes to having kids in the digital world that, unfortunately for my children, but the Sapphire boys, we have now adopted some of those
restrictions
because of something that she said. So I just think this book is so full of excellent information. I think anybody reading it's going to love it.
No, it's a win. It's a big win for the American people. Even the non-American people, I feel, have benefited from this one.
just people in general.
Just people across the board. Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. Doc, I'm excited about this. I can't wait to see you again. I understand it is, I've been told you're going to be on the Saturday Night Show in Mother's Day weekend. Is that true?
I mean, I heard the same thing, but don't they know I have an early bedtime?
No, they don't know because they follow you on Instagram and they don't believe that. Nice try. But we love you and we're excited to see you. And congrats on the book. It's awesome. And everything we said, honestly, people listening right now, guys should go buy this book. It is a cheat code in the video game term.
I appreciate it. And I'll see you Saturday night soon.
Can't wait, girlfriend. Be well. The great Dr. Nicole Sapphire. The book is Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. And I do mean this. If you're a guy, because I have to read these books when I have people on to talk about their books, I'll go through and read and kind of get a feel for the vibe. She made an interesting point that I wouldn't have thought to make. You know, having written a book and, you know, marketed a book myself, I wouldn't have thought to say, hey, guys, you know, if you read this book, you'll kind of have an angle. But there is so much female insight in here. So if you were thinking in video game terms, like when I was a little kid, what a cheat code was is say you were playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and you just wanted to practice against Mike Tyson. Well, if you were playing the game normally, you'd have to win your way to Mike Tyson, which is difficult and time-consuming. You know, you start off with a guy like Glass Joe, who's an easy fighter, you get rid of him. But then along the way, you're going to run into guys like Piston, Honda, and Bald Bull, Don Flamenco, you know, King Hippo, the Super Macho Man, Soda Popinski. These are all 80s cartoon boxers in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Great Tiger, who does that disappearing act, the guy in the turban. You know, you're going to fight some formidable opponents to get to Mike Tyson. But if you wanted to just practice against Mike Tyson, there was a cheat code you could put in that would just have you square off against Mike Tyson. Well, lo and behold, if you really wanted to understand women and motherhood and the selflessness that makes for so many great women out there and iconic moms, this book is a lot of insight into that. And you might get a kick out of reading it for real. I wouldn't have thought to suggest that. I really brought her on being like, Mother's Day, get it for your mom. She'll hear about other moms, which is a great idea and a phenomenal gift. But if you want like an inside women, like inside baseball cheat code for women, also a good angle. So shout out to Sapphire for coming up with an angle that I myself did not have. Now, again, nobody's exactly copying off me on a test. She's a doctor. But understand the life she has built for herself is the end result of getting pregnant as a teen and deciding to choose life and keep the kid. Okay, she got pregnant at an age where Democrats were like, you know, would traditionally tell you you have no business having a baby because it's going to get in the way of your career. And I understand some people are going to make that choice. But the most rewarding thing you can do in life is raise a cool kid, raise a, you know, kid who's making a good contribution to society. It really is fascinating. And it serves as such a compass for you in your adult life. Because so many of the bad decisions I made in my 20s, I was certainly capable of making in my 30s, but I couldn't because I had other people that would be affected by them. So, you know, maybe let's go to the casino and play, you know, blackjack in the middle of the night. Still sounds like fun. You know, maybe not the part where you're turning tricks on the boardwalk so you can afford bus fare back to the city. I'm being silly. But you can't indulge a lot of your worst impulses if you're really committed to being a good parent. So in that regard, I say Lincoln is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I think embracing the fact that I didn't always have the answers is also empowering in its own right. You know, there's nothing better you can do for yourself than admit that you don't know everything. Because the world is filled with so many people who do truly think they figured it all out, and they're usually the ones that are wrong the most.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
A show so good, it moves the stock market.
The Dow racing up on Jimmy's remarks.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power the Future, joining us in the next hour. Jim Jordan also scheduled to come on as well. A lot of unrest in the House of Representatives. Some Republicans are done with Mike Johnson. Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo yesterday, and they got into it because MTG wants Mike Johnson out of there, but she doesn't have a plan to replace him, which is kind of clown stuff because at the end of the day, it's more theatrics than actual, you know, tangible progress. But here's the back and forth. You should hear it. It's clip 12.
You wanted Mike Johnson out. What is your alternative plan?
Our plan is this: is we have to give the American people a reason to trust us and fight for us. The American people are supporting President Trump to be the next president of the United States because they've seen him in action. He fought against the Democrat agenda. He put America first. They desperately want him to lead this country again because they trust him and they know he will do that. Mike Johnson has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policies, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership. Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
Well, with all due respect, you didn't give me a plan for the speaker's role. And again, does this mean you are going to file that motion at some point?
It's coming regardless of what Mike Johnson decides to do.
Oh, boy.
That's not right.
Listen, if there's a plan to replace him, I could see wanting to. But one of the problems with what's going on with Mike Johnson right now is, yes, he is, as the House Speaker, going along with a lot of these bills, but they're only getting passed because the Republicans who have that majority are voting for this crap. Okay, so the problem isn't leadership alone. And I don't like what Mike Johnson's doing, believe me. Okay, but when you get out there on TV and you're like, we're going to file a motion, we're going to get rid of him. So what are you going to do now? We're heading into Election Day in November. Republicans are going to run on their fourth or their fifth Speaker of the House. In what world do you look the American people in the eye and go, no, we're ready to govern. No, no, we're on top of it this time. Okay, the third time we weren't sure. The second time we were still figuring out. Obviously, the first time shouldn't count. But the fourth time, we've really got this thing figured out by now.
Are you stupid or something?
Okay, I'm just telling you, they look like clowns. They really do. And the fact that so many Republicans voted to go along with this nonsense is another detriment, if you're being honest. Okay, but that's the biggest problem facing the House right now is nobody can take any of them seriously. So maybe Jim Jordan has a plan to turn it around. We'll ask him in the next hour on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. We made it through Fargo in one piece. We are back in New York City. We are ready to do the dang thing. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of this hour, an hour that is scheduled to include Jim Jordan from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. We're also going to talk to my main man, Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power the Future. It's a grown-up talk about all things America.
Freedom!
But we say it every day when you listen to the show. There is no, you know, barrier for entry, no ideological barrier.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. Just like the sergeant says in the movie Stripes, okay? Just behave. You can be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a... That is all we ask. Joining us now on the line at the tippy top of the hour on a busy day in Washington. He is, of course, superstar representative from the 4th Congressional District. He's the House Judiciary Committee chairman. He is Jim Jordan. Hey, man.
Jimmy, how's it going? I'm actually not in Washington, though. I'm in the great state of Pennsylvania campaigning with a great candidate, Dave McCormick, our candidate for United States Senate.
Yeah.
So, but close enough to Washington, up in Pennsylvania.
No, but I mean, congratulations that you're not in Washington. That's a win.
It's always good to be out of that place. Huh? Yeah. Get away from the swamp.
I always tell people, like when we were arguing over like sports mascots, I'm like, if you polled people on the name Washington Redskins, most people would be offended by the word Washington.
Very true. And it's still the Cleveland Indians, not the Guardians.
Oh,
right?
I know.
Come on.
I mean, no. That's another ridiculous one. You know, I know this. We're fighting a lot of the wrong battles. And what's so fascinating is the college kids and the people who led the charge against sports mascots and decided it was some type of a hate speech are now camping out on the campus quad chanting death to Israel. Isn't that a little weird?
Well, it's weird and it's scary.
Yeah.
It's so wrong, too. It's like, come on, Israel's our dearest and closest ally and friend, and what you see happening there. But, I mean, frankly, and Senator or Dave McCormick was just saying this, you know, it's a lack of leadership from some of the folks on these universities as well, certainly. But it's sad to see that that's happening in our great country, the greatest, you know, the greatest country ever. So just frustrating.
It's nuts. And I just, you know, whenever this comes up, I just try to remind people, like, Israel is the only country in that region that shares all of our values. So this idea that we should be siding with anybody else just on the merits is insane. But we move on because
they will like what they're attacking them on is so wrong. They will bend over backwards to try to make sure that civilians aren't. They will warn them that the IDF is coming in. I mean, the things they do, no other country does. And yet somehow everyone wants to blame them, even though the attack on October 7th, they came after. You know, they did the terrible things to Israel on October 7th. It's like, it's just wrong, and there's no logic to the other side what they say.
No,
that's why we got to keep helping Israel.
Screaming kids. No, I'm with you on that. And even when you're out there on the campaign trail, I think what you start to notice in every town you go to, because I can tell you this from doing stand up on the road, there's been just this overall decline in the quality of life under Biden. In so many ways that they don't really talk about as an administration, meaning the average person goes to the grocery store, pays a lot more money, goes to the gas pump, pays a lot more money. That affects your everyday life more than any of the nonsense we're hearing. Like today's Earth Day. Biden was like, all right, $7 billion for some Chinese solar panels.
Yeah.
But I promise you, nobody going to the grocery store tonight is going, well, it sucks. We can't, you know, we're going to have to shoplift the eggs in order to afford them. But at least we got some cheap solar panels from China, right?
Yeah,
do they not get it? Is that what you're finding?
The Democrats don't. And even if they do get it, they can't talk about it because they caused it. So, you know, inflation is the worst tax there is. And it's killing American families right now. As you point out, eggs cost more, bread costs more, milk costs more, everything costs more, gas costs more. But this is the Biden. I think we talked before. I got asked by a reporter not too long ago. Can you describe anything that's good that President Biden's done? And I tried to give him a fair shake because he's our president. It's our great country. And so I actually stopped and thought about it for a second. And I said, no, I can't think of one thing good that he's done.
Well,
it's just a mess.
Well, he has attempted to raise awareness to the cannibalism problem in New Guinea. And that's not nothing. Okay. It's we have ignored this for far too long as a country. It's like, in what world is this okay? Like, the White House, to their credit, walked it back to like, all right, it didn't happen. The Pentagon walked back, said it didn't happen. But we should be able to acknowledge it to people that this is not normal or okay to have a guy making up cannibalism stories.
No, well, he makes up all kinds. Corn Pop makes up all kinds of things. I mean, we just know. And he's not going to debate. I mean, I'd be shocked if he would actually agree to debate President Trump. He's not going to do it. He's counting on this ridiculous kind of thing going on in New York right now where they're occupying President Trump's time with Alvin Bragg, who, by the way, the Justice Department wouldn't bring the case. The Federal Elections Committee wouldn't bring the case against President Trump. Cy Vance, the previous DA, wouldn't bring the case. And even Alvin Bragg wouldn't bring the case until President Trump announces he's running for president. And one of Alvin Bragg's assistants writes a book. And suddenly Alvin Bragg, oh, I'm going to bring a case now. Yeah. This is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's all they got. So they're going to go after President Trump and see if that's enough. I just don't think it is. I think the American people have figured it all out.
Yeah, because you know what the problem is? None of these prosecutions address the issues facing people who vote, okay? Whether you're talking about crime or the affordability issue or anything in between, none of these represent like a quality of life improvement. And then there is the reality that you just mentioned, which is that everything he's on trial for, he could have been put on trial for 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, which means the timing of this is really suspect, man.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 2016 election. That's what this case is in Lower Manhattan. It's about something that happened before the 2016 election, which means we could have dealt with this before the 2020 election. Somehow we're dealing with it before the 2024 election because they really are, you know, this is, you know, to keep it in baseball terms, they're throwing spitballs. They're scuffing the ball in this election.
Yeah. Right. They most definitely are because it's all they got left. They've thrown the kitchen sink at this guy from spying on his campaign, to the Mueller investigation, to impeachment, to the special counsel, to raiding his home, to the 14th Amendment, to the four indictments, Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, and the two from Jack Smith. And now it's down to this. Maybe we can tie him up in court, maybe get some bogus, crazy conviction from a jury that's certainly slanted against him. So that's all they got. And, oh, by the way, Joe Biden's never going to debate. He's going to sit around the White House and talk about corn pop and cannibals, and we're still going to try to win.
Corn pop. You know, now, if you could do a medley, though, because he famously told us corn pop was a bad dude. That was his statement. He was like, corn pop is a bad dude. But what if you had, you know, they have like that Godzilla versus King Kong movie. What if we had a corn pop versus the cannibals sci-fi film? Would you watch that?
Yeah. Well, if you direct it, I watch it.
All right.
If you direct it,
this could be my directorial debut, Jimmy Failla.
I got to be in when you were doing the
moon landing, Doc.
The moon landing in Wapakoneta, your wife's hometown.
Yep.
I got to be a small guest appearance in that great production by Jimmy. So when you direct that movie, I'll be happy.
To You're showing up for corn pop versus the cannibals. It's a new spinoff. I don't know that we'll win an Oscar for that, but you know what? No, if you're committed, I can definitely get budget for that. Having some big names on board, that matters. I love this. Is everything else good? Is Russell okay?
All good. Russell's fine. Oh, it's kind of a slow time in sports, you know, early in the playoffs. And
well,
the
it's
NBA,
a, well
you know,
listen,
nobody cares.
It's a slow time for you or me. It's not a slow time for him. He's probably at the dog track as we speak.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you taking the time out to call us in between driving Russell to the pawn shop. That's all.
All right, brother.
You're the best.
I'm the tiger.
You
are
my man. See you soon.
Next time I'm on, I want to hear about Lincoln. We didn't get to Lincoln.
Oh, I'll give you a minute on Lincoln really quick if
okay.
you just want to know.
Yes.
He's playing rec league baseball so he can keep lifting weights for football. So he didn't play school baseball, even though he's as big as he is. He's playing rec league, and he's going to these, like, intramural weightlifting things. Because you told me, we talked about strength training at that age being the difference maker.
Critical.
And well, we have him invested. The only problem is now, like, I can still take him, but I can tell when I'm wrestling him, he's like, he's getting too strong for me.
Yeah. There'll come a point where you just back away.
Yeah. No, we're going to have to start fighting dirty. You know, the old wrestling matches where they'd hit the guy with the steel chair or something. I'm going to have to start blinding
him.
Well,
that's good to hear, man. Yeah. Stronger athlete's a better athlete. He's getting strong. I can't wait till I see him playing big time. Bringing all that NIL money to you. I even though your bank account's huge. Playing big time college football, tight end.
Yeah.
Lincoln out there making the catches. Number, what's his number? 88, 89, what's his number?
No, because he's playing defensive end. They have him in a defensive number. So he was rocking 63 and then 64 out of nowhere because he goes both ways.
It would be fun. Can you imagine just teeing off like your job, rush the passer, throw anyone out of your way and go tackle. I would love that.
That's the whole gig. He has nothing to do but get the ball. You know,
yeah.
It's like being a dog when someone holds up a ball and you just got to go get it. So it's a good it's a good racket. That is the official Lincoln report.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if I can't take him next time we fight, I'm calling you for backup.
Right.
You know, people.
All right.
See you, man.
Take care, brother.
You're the
good
best.
There he goes.
The great Jim Jordan. And you know, he's on the road. He's campaigning in Pennsylvania. And I will tell you this, if you've heard, I talk about my schedule every week, okay? I have been everywhere. I've been in about, since March, probably 14, 15 cities already. Every single one of them has dealt with a precipitous quality of life decline. And it's bad to watch, man. It sucks to watch. But it's the end result of an administration that's fighting all the wrong battles. Like, today's Earth Day. Yay, Earth. Okay, great. But $7 billion for solar panels from China?
You cannot be serious.
Okay, again, $7 billion in low-budget solar panels from China. This is what's happening with the green energy movement. You need to know this, okay? We buy about 95% of the critical infrastructure for green energy from China, our biggest geopolitical foe in the world. Do you understand? But to take it a step further, not only is our biggest enemy the one selling us this, our biggest enemy is also out-polluting us by a margin of 5. So at the end of the day, when it comes to the climate, nothing we do even matters if you don't get China and India to adapt the same type of initiatives we do. But neither one of them have any interest in that whatsoever. So instead, China is just in the business of manufacturing things like solar panels. China owns all the rare earth minerals that go into making an electric car. So every time you invest in electric cars, every time you invest in solar powers, your biggest enemy gets richer. And oh, by the way, they get richer by selling you a green energy movement that they themselves have no interest in partaking in. Do you get it? We're trying to quit smoking. So we're buying the patch off a guy who's got a cigar in either hand.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
You're listening to the most relatable man on the radio.
Best way to describe him is to say he's the typical boy next door.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking with Daniel Turner in the next break as well. We're monitoring all of this ridiculousness uptown in Columbia, around the country, college kids, organized protesters, doing the whole death to Israel thing. It's so bizarre to me. As a comic, man, they put so many limitations on what they wanted comedians talking about. One of the reasons we wrote the Cancel Culture Dictionary was I was trying to explain how weaponized censorship broke our compass, and it took us down this road of fighting everything but what mattered. Like, at a time when we were going after, like, sports mascots and Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's rice, the country, in a lot of ways, was collapsing. Okay, the border is wide open. Goods aren't affordable, man. It's a mess. And we're like, I've got it. We'll change the halftime show. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But to know that all of the people who led those cancellations, think of people in the book, Tommy Lahren, Katie Pavlich, people you see on the Fox News Channel, I have a chapter about college campuses and about how many prominent conservatives were banned from college campuses because they were like, well, you know, you can't come here. It's hate speech. Can't talk about it, you know. That's bad. Anyway, we've got to go because we're trying to wipe Israel off the map. The most hateful thing you could ever do. Okay, the people chanting death to America, the people chanting Israel's got to go. Okay, they are the very people who championed the type of mindset that said we shouldn't have comics here. We shouldn't have, you know, conservative women on campus. This is dangerous. Somebody's going to get killed. Okay, you can't have people exchanging in a good faith battle of ideas. No. The safe thing to do is just call for complete wiping of off the map of Israel. That's what you do. And it's like, it's dumb. And I hate to keep repeating it, but you need to know how dumb the word is has gotten. Okay, when guys on Morning Joe are condemning it, we're in a dumb place. Here is Donnie Deutsch, who is one of the daily victims on the Morning Joe show. Clip 17.
This is an atrocity. And I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. If there was any group spewing hate and violence against any other group, Asians, blacks, Hispanics, gays, it would be shut down. And this needs to be shut down immediately because, and once again, those groups are back. Those tents are back up. And this cannot go unanswered. It's very simple. And, you know, there's a continuum of protesters. There's a heinous anti-violent ones that spewing hatred, spewing death, if you will. And then there's the less malignant that say ceasefire. But even ceasefire doesn't have the word peace in it. Never do you hear the word peace because this side doesn't want peace. It wants a jihad. And this is not pro-Palestinian. This is anti-Israel. And anti-Israel is a misnomer because it's really anti-Jew. And it makes me sick and it's terrifying.
I admire your honesty.
Okay, give him that. I'm not a fan of Morning Joe, obviously. That's a tough listen day in and day out because he's doing the whole, you know, everybody on the right's a bunch of racists. And now what are they spending their morning doing? What's up with these racists on the left? They are being forced to acknowledge it because it's become a big liability for them. You understand, Biden's in a tough spot because he can't really trash this stuff outright because Dearborn, Michigan is the key to him winning that state. And Dearborn, Michigan is loaded with anti-Semites. They don't want to coexist with Israel. They want them off the map. They're the ones chanting from the rivers to the sea. From the river to the sea means no more Israel. I mean, it means we got rid of them. They're gone. Okay, and they're not the only network saying it. Even CNN, okay, even CNN spoke out on this. Here's Franklin Foer, clip 19.
What we've seen is that by going in and cracking down, it's just further inflamed the situation. It's becoming about more than just a Palestine. And when what's happened is protesters say that they're just criticizing Israel. And I believe that in a lot of their minds, that's their intent. But there's a whole vocabulary that they have for talking about what's happening on campus that veers almost directly into anti-Semitism, where they accuse Jewish donors, they accuse Jewish forces in the world for ordering the crackdown. It's not the university president acting on her own. There's a cabal.
Those are straight up anti-Semitic tropes right there that you outline.
Yeah, and I'll even go further. It's not almost anti-Semitism. It is anti-Semitism.
That is what the late, great Rush Limbaugh would call a random act of journalism, that every once in a while a member of, like, the mainstream press would demonstrate an intellectual curiosity that would lead them down the road of some critical thought. And this is a rare moment, but what you're recognizing is there's a lot of people in the media who rightfully call this out as being the disgusting, you know, anti-Semitism that it is. But these are people who are a member of a party that have aided and abetted this thing. And they let these campuses grow out of control over the course of the last decade by helping colleges transform from not the free thought factories that taught kids how to think, but indoctrination camps that teach them what to think. When you have a campus full of rabid anti-Semites running your school, yes, the kids are going to start feeling the same way, and that's why this is going on. It's gross. Okay, we'll get into it with Daniel Turner, and we'll pick up the mood a little bit too, gosh. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, and it is also Earth Day, and it wouldn't be an Earth Day if we didn't have the founder and executive director of Power of the Future with us to celebrate this great day. Daniel Turner is in the house. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day to you.
Best I can remember.
Best in a while. Look at the weather today.
People always say, like, well, you know, what do you get your friends, you know, for Earth Day? You know, with this climate movement, I think, you know, for weddings, it's like paper or, you know, tinfoil. For Earth Day, it's bull. I think a lot of what it is.
It's solar panels.
Yes, yeah, solar powered billions from China.
Billions of dollars in solar panels.
Yay. This is amazing to me. So we went out. Biden just announced that we're spending $7 billion today. Yeah. $7 billion, big dough.
Big lot of money.
For China, who's probably our biggest geopolitical foe. Hmm. For China, who, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't really do the climate change thing.
No.
Like the analogy I've made, and you can weigh in on this, is I always say, like, we're trying to quit smoking, so we're buying the patch off a chain smoker. Is that not what we're doing?
Yeah, that's very accurate. Absolutely. And they, you know, they're building coal plants left and right to build these crappy wind and solar products that then we're buying, and we're closing down our coal plants to buy there. So it's just all one big circle.
And they own I think the percentage I saw was in the 90s. When it comes to rare earth minerals.
Yeah, 95%.
It's 95%.
Of the market.
Wow.
Yeah.
So every one of these like green energy initiatives, it's like for the people who steal all of our intellectual copyrights, who absolutely handed us COVID, by the way. We're allowed to say that now. Like we could have been thrown into jail. Well, yeah, kind
of,
yeah.
Now you're kind of allowed to say it? Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you want to sound crazy when you get to COVID in China. And I'm always a little conspiratorial when I realize that TikTok started taking off once we told every American school kid they had to stay locked in their room for class.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden this TikTok phenomena happened.
Got really big.
I kind of tied TikTok and COVID together, all Chinese related.
Isn't that fascinating? But Daniel Turner's in studio. And you think about that. And I remember when COVID was getting going.
Yeah.
And they got mad at Trump because he was saying it came from China. He was calling it the China virus. I have a montage on the show. It's 3 minutes long of every media figure you've ever heard of going the Wuhan coronavirus, the Chinese coronavirus, because we all agreed that's where it came from till we didn't. And then we were like, well, it's racist.
Yeah.
You don't understand. You can't say that. But it's amazing because we're living in this moment right now where you couldn't say COVID came from China because that's racist.
Yeah.
But you could get on any Ivy League campus in America right now and call for the eradication of Israel.
Yes. Yeah, you're exactly. Weird. And it's terrible. I feel so bad for John Kerry because today is Earth Day and all of their school kids who would normally be screaming about climate change are all at Columbia screaming death to the Jews.
It's so weird.
So I know. Like, why aren't they on our team?
Is there a tie-in with death to the Jews? Reduce a carbon footprint.
All the same.
Am I missing something?
They have three T-shirts in their closet, and it's BLM, and then they take that one off, and then it's climate change. That's the perennial one. They always have that one on first.
That's a go-to.
It's like an undershirt. and now it's. I didn't know Columbia University was directly responsible for the creation of the Palestinian state. These 19-year-olds are up there screaming, saying like, "You have to shut down the Palestinian occupation," and they want to say like, "I'm an economics professor. What am I?"
This guy has no say.
Do you realize this is a college? Does anyone go to class?
Shut you down. This guy can't shut down like a stoned white kid in a tent. He's going to go shut down a war?
Does anyone go to school? I know, admit, I did not go to college, so I don't know what it's like. But I would assume, I did go to college for a little while, but I didn't succeed. I assume, though, people go to class, but not now. It seems like all the college kids. But you know what? This has been going on for years. Back, you know, long series of video footages, especially at Yale. Uh-huh. Remember the Yale viral video from a while ago where the Halloween professor told the
dorm. Yeah.
Yeah, the professor told everyone for Halloween, wear whatever you want, even if it's offensive. Uh-huh. And the kids were screaming and crying.
We're not safe.
Yeah, we're not safe. Exactly. It's the same mentality. We have allowed young people to believe that if you feel strongly about a point, you can just scream nonstop, disrupt everyone else. You don't have to go to class. You don't have to go to work. And that's how you get your way. Petulant.
Clock. And we're rewarding petulance.
Oh,
Daniel Turner is in studio. But that is what it is. Remember the old move little kids and parents would make back in the day? If a kid was throwing a fit in the store, they'd do like, well, mommy's leaving. Mm-hmm. And the mom would walk out. The kid would be like, no. Now the kid throws a fit in the store and we're like, well, here's $7 billion for China. I know you're upset about this climate thing.
And Eric Cartman used to be like a character on South Park.
Yeah.
But that's how we raise our children now. It's like Eric Cartman, whenever he'd complain, mommy would buy him a new toy. And that's exactly what's happening at Columbia. So they're all up there complaining. I know some of them got suspended, but you want to say like, you don't have the right to shut down my university because you feel strongly about anything, whether it's climate change, whether it's about Palestine. It's just absurd.
Yeah, well, the Palestine issue they're having is obviously there's the significant wing of the Democratic Party that's pro-Hamas.
Yeah,
and they don't like, you know, they've acknowledged it. It's a thing. And with Michigan being as critical as it is, they really don't want to call it out in specifics.
Yeah. And look how many Democrats from this area are all up for re-election. How come they're not there in solidarity?
No.
AOC, go up to, you know, you believe in the Free Palestine. That's the next district over.
Yeah,
why don't you go to Columbia? Jerry Nadler, you should go to NYU. They're protesting there, too. That is your district.
Yeah.
You feel strongly. This is what your party's standing for, so you can't hide now. Get out there, folks.
It's so fascinating because you're making a great point. And, you know, we're always told it's the classic exercise of projection.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, the hateful, violent right wing. Nobody on the right's trying to eliminate anything. No. The only thing which we, honestly, the only thing is like Natty Light beer. We're trying to eliminate every can of Natty Light in the fridge. It's a drink inside. You know what I mean? Yeah. But we're not trying to eliminate anything. We're not trying to cancel anybody. And like they don't get that. Maybe it's, you know, there's like this lack of self-awareness. And I think I say this to listeners a lot. That's the biggest problem with if you do live in what we describe as an echo chamber. It's like even if you were conservative, if you only had conservative friends, you'd think every idea was a good idea.
Yeah.
Because you're just, you know, you have a bad third base coach. They're always going to send the runner. Yeah. And they would benefit, you know, in ways they don't realize. You know that NPR op-ed last week about how you guys need some Republicans on the board. I don't think liberals realize that it would help them to have Republicans on the board.
No. No, and you know what? You can make that same case about going back to solar panels.
Yeah.
Solar panels, the best thing you could do for them is allow the free market to implement them.
Yeah.
But by giving them $7 billion and saying, you, Fela household, have to have solar panels on your roof, you're not getting a better product.
Yeah.
Right? You're not getting the free market is what makes products great.
That's a good
so
point.
If they want gas power, electric powered stove, electric powered cars, the best way to have them come about into fruition and in a sustainable way, I love the word sustainable.
Yeah. There it is.
Is to allow the free markets to do it. When that little Secretary of Transpo, Buttigieg, a couple days ago on a Fox program said, it's like back in the 2000s when the people wouldn't give up their landline because they were afraid of cell phones, and he's smirked because he has disdain for regular America. And I wanted to say, but Mr. Secretary, the government never forced you to get a cell phone. They never gave you $7 billion worth of incentive to buy a cell phone. The free market made the cell phone great.
Yeah.
It would do the same to wind and solar if they allowed it.
And never mind that the cell phone brought in a capability that didn't exist on the regular phone.
Yeah.
So in a now you were getting emails and texts and social media and videos and everything in between. The technology behind an electric car, however advanced it can be in the cockpit, they actually don't have the range or capability of gas cars.
No.
And when you read the stats, most people who own an electric car, most people, okay, own a gas-powered vehicle. It's not the only vehicle in the home.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a luxury or, you know, recreational vehicle anyway. So the technology, the technological comparison isn't the same. But do you think Pete Buttigieg is riding his bike to work today?
Well, again, but Death to the Jews has taken over all of the Earth Day celebration.
That's
like
true,
Earth Day has been pushed out because...
Are we not even getting an Earth Day this year?
I mean, there's got to be something going on. We, my organization, Power the Future, we had a fun little campaign, but it hardly got any acknowledgement, unfortunately, because of
what's going
death
on?
To the Jews. But we, the way President Biden claimed Easter for trans awareness, we have claimed Earth Day as fossil fuel worker identity day.
Whoa.
And we have let them, we have mobile billboards going around Washington, D.C., around the National Mall where there's an Earth Day celebration saying that we have reclaimed this day and we recognize you. We see you. You are made in God's image.
Yes.
Just what Biden told the trans community, you're made in God's image and we are better because of you. So today, as far as we're concerned, is not Earth Day. It is fossil fuel worker visibility day. And if you're in DC, you can see our mobile billboards going around the city to remind people.
And they should know that. They should absolutely know. This is important that we celebrate properly.
Yeah.
And I do want to acknowledge this interview is taking place on stolen land. It's like it's all such performative stupidity.
That's the best word for it.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole country right now.
It's all for optics. It's all for the cameras.
Uh-huh. So it's funny. You talk about this. I was playing this. I played a Michael Douglas clip earlier. Michael Douglas, great actor. He's in Falling Down. I enjoy that film quite a bit. He's in a lot of good things. But he did an interview at CNN over the weekend where he goes, you know, I don't understand why they're giving Biden a hard time. This guy's as sharp as a tack. His staff says all the time, you know, he's sharp as a tack. How many guys do you know that tell stories about their uncle getting eaten by cannibals that aren't true because they're sharp as a tack?
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird, but it's he's a Hollywood actor, but that's a lot of what the gig is right now.
Yeah.
You figure out what aligns with your brand. And then you commit to it.
Yeah.
So it's like the people at Columbia have decided for the best of their brand, climate change and pretend genocide in Gaza.
Yeah.
And this is what I want on my brand. Is that what we are?
100%. And you know what did that so well was the brilliant TV show Veep.
Oh, yeah.
And how every time Selena Myers, the incomparable Julia Louis-Dreyfus, every time she would speak to someone, her brand was, oh, she's in front of Latinos, and she would say, I was just in a bodega, and I was buying, and it'd be the same speech, but then it was in an Irish neighborhood, and she'd be like, I was just in a pub having a Guinness, and I met Seamus O'Malley. Like, it's all theatrics, it's all brand, none of it's true, none of it's authentic.
That's amazing, though, because it speaks to that whole Biden montage you see where he's like, I was raised in the Puerto Rican church. I'm practically Joe Bidenopoulos. I'm so Greek.
Exactly.
I was raised in the black church.
He's raised in every church. The man who spent his entire weekends going to religious services, you know.
It's weird. For a guy who spent as much church time as he did, he supports a lot of things the church isn't on board with.
He struggles with some of the fundamentals.
He might have been holding that missalette upside down. Is that what you're telling me?
And he's a firm believer in obviously all things climate change, and yet every weekend he has an entourage of SUVs and helicopters and Air Force One to go to his Delaware house. Another conspiracy theory, what must happen in that house that every week? They announced 2 weekends ago a strike from Iran is imminent against Israel, and he was like, well, the plane's leaving to Delaware. So he came back Saturday morning, right? Ooh. But something happens in that house in Delaware.
Are you
Tour
de France and me? Are you saying they're blood doping in Delaware?
There is something going on in Delaware that they don't on White House visitors log.
Wow.
I don't know what cocktail he gets. What remember that guy who's getting his son to inject his blood in him because he wants to live forever?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the news for a
Dude,
while.
Whatever they gave him for the State of the Union, I mean, they almost killed yes. him. They did. They were as close as you could be to killing somebody without killing them, thank God.
Yeah.
He was hopped up on sugar.
He was.
Hopped up. Wow, Daniel Turner, we really went down a conspiratorial path, it being Earth Day. I mean, cocaine is grown in the earth, is it not?
It is a natural product, exactly.
So,
it's
no one's celebrating
Earth Day.
The only
thing still illegal here in New York, everything else. Gosh, just walking from my hotel to the studio, I got a little stoned. Everyone is smoking weed on the street.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
absurd.
Manhattan has leaned into green energy all the way. just not in the way that benefits China. It's benefiting Jamaica more than China at this point. But you admire the commitment. Daniel Turner, we love you. Best Earth Day ever.
Thanks, buddy.
Back after this.
It's the show that leaves you hungry for more.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soup, eat bread and desserts, and just get all fat and sassy.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Hey, girl. We are in the bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. It is Earth Day. I know you're all out there celebrating.
Wrong.
Okay. I know none of you are out there celebrating. But as Daniel Turner was brilliantly saying, we did just give $7 billion. $7 billion to the government of China.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, it's so dumb. And it's just that's been the theme of the day today. It's like I opened the show today. I was talking about how we just spent $60 billion defending Ukraine's borders while ours remains wide open. It's kind of frustrating to people who, again, they don't, certainly not on Putin's side, but you know, they wouldn't mind prioritizing America. Like they wouldn't, that wouldn't be a bad thing. There was a time in this country where you kind of looked out for the, you know, you tried to keep the place in good standing. We're not really doing that right now. And that's where we find ourselves. Then you hear about this, you know, appropriation of funds for Ukraine or something they're doing for China. You know what I mean? There's so much of that stuff going on in this moment that a lot of people, they hear it and they're just like, dude, shut up already. What about us? What's going on with us? And you don't, you know, they don't really have an answer for that. So that's been the day. And where we find ourselves, you know, shoving off on a week of news, a week that will end with me in the D.C. swamp. Live at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I don't know whose idea that was that put me on TV live for 2 hours.
That can't be good.
I mean, seriously, what, right next to an open bar?
That can't be good.
I'll be all right, though. It's an act in self-preservation. I'll actually be okay. But what you find is, as someone who's just trying to bargain with you in good faith, you know, and I never want to steer the conversation. And that's like the whole hook of what I'm doing is I'm not running this like omnipotent, I know everything, shut up and do what I tell you type of a talk show. It's so fascinating and simultaneously frustrating to watch all of these people try to steer the conversation through omissions and falsehoods and lies and everything in between. But when you start to hear this mischaracterization of everything going on, it's because an honest conversation doesn't serve their interests. Because if you're being honest about the state of the country under this administration, okay, it's, you know, completely going to I mean, that's just reality. You know, when you look out at the state of the country right now.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
Now, I bring up Trump because I wanted to play you this Bill Barr clip on the way out the door. Bill Barr's on Cavuto. Bill Barr and Trump don't like each other anymore. But Trump will be the first guy, Bill Barr will be the first guy to admit he would vote for Trump over Biden because he thinks the people that are running this thing right now have their heads up their asses. Not only does he think Biden sucks, but he thinks Biden is surrounded by people who suck.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Here is Barr laying it down for you. This is the basic choice facing everybody, even if you don't feel the way he does about Trump. Clip 25.
Well, yeah, I'm not happy with the choice. I think this is a terrible choice for the country, but it is a choice. At the end of the day, we have to select between two different individuals, and I've said all along that I think it's my duty to pick the person I think will do the least harm to the country, and I think that to me that's clearly Trump and the Republican administration, which I think is important. I think, you know, getting control over the border, stopping the lawlessness in our cities, building up the strength of the United States in an ever more dangerous world. Stop the avalanche of regulation that is strangling business and our technological superiority. These are critical things that have to be done, and I think that we'll get them done under a Trump administration.
I mean, and that's, you know, in a nutshell what it comes down to. Is it's like you're basically just voting for priorities now. Okay, one guy is saying it's Earth Day. Here's $7 billion for China. Still not a penny for the border. Here's $60 billion for Ukraine. Still not a penny for the border, okay? We're borrowing money. We're printing and spending money at a point where inflation is out of control, okay? And when you think about the two priorities, one guy is flat out telling you, oh, it's fine. We've got a messaging problem. The economy's doing great. I mean, come on.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Well, no, they're not going to tell you it's raining. They're going to tell you it's climate change because it's Earth Day. So let's go spend $7 billion on that, too. But nothing for you, the American person. It's a scam, I tell you. Happy Earth Day. I'm out of here.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.